Hello and welcome back to AetherCast. This is episode number 7. It's episode 7, right?
I have no clue. Yeah. 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 or...
We'll go with 7 and then whatever you see posted from when you downloaded the episode. That's what episode is. Cool, guys. Alright, everybody, I'm Matt. Once again, as always, with Travis. What's going on, Travis?
Hey, just kind of, you know, getting over all of my woes.
Woes?
Yeah. Well, we had some audio issues, and then we had some recording issues, and then we had some guest issues. Yeah, I'm getting over my woes.
I mean, it wasn't we had recording issues.
I had recording issues.
So it happens when internet goes out 20 minutes into podcasting.
And then you use your cell phone data to have a Skype call, but no recording.
So that sucks for your data usage, man.
It wasn't actually too bad. The hour-long call we had ended up only eating up like 300-400 gigabytes of data. Sorry.
400 gigs? Holy shit.
Megabytes. Megabytes. Wow.
You went way over on that data usage for the month, sir. You can expect a $5,000 cell phone bill.
Yeah, that would be bad. No.
I'm just not going to pay this ever.
No, it was only 300 megabytes of data, so that wasn't too bad.
No, not bad. So, no. Sweet, man. So there was some game days that happened this past weekend.
Yes.
Now, here you went to one of them.
I did go to Games Day this weekend, and I played Blue-Black Aristocrats.
Also known as the River of Salt.
River of Salt?
Oh, yeah. What you're telling me, man, you sound almost kind of salty about it.
I'm not salty about the deck. The deck is very, very good. I thoroughly enjoyed playing it all weekend. I ended up going and getting first place on Thursday before Games Day. And I think I just used all my luck out at that point. But ended up going on Saturday. Played against the guy that I beat to get first place, and he was playing Sultai Ramp with Ulamog and Sower, the one that goes through and you exile the top four cards, and you can play lands as though from exile as though they're yours.
Oblivion Sower?
Yeah, Oblivion Sower.
Sweet.
So he was just playing Sultai. It's very incremental, and it's susceptible to a lot of aggro strategies, but I just couldn't get him down enough. Like both games that I played against him, I got him down to 3 and 4, and then he got stabilized. So, and my draws were just horrible against him.
Well, you said it's a ramp deck, so isn't it more of a control ramp type strategy? If you're talking about Oblivion Sours and Ulamog and all that, that's not looking all that great for his curve.
No, it definitely wasn't, and his first 3 or 4 turns were really, really shaky, and so were mine, but then because shaky turns actually go through and benefit him on turn 5 to 8, he got there a lot better than I did. So I just didn't draw the right cards in the right order, and when I drew the wrong cards, they were really wrong. So it wasn't a horrible matchup. I had beat him on Thursday. And I beat him really, really quick and handily. So I'm pretty sure that matchup I would have been pretty okay to play 100 games and probably take 70 of them. So 70% against that deck for sure.
So the variance gods were good for you at first.
Variance kicked my ass.
Yeah,
it always kicks my ass.
I mean, if you're running a deck that can just kill you out of nowhere super quick, and you lose to a deck that runs 6 to 10 drops.
Yeah.
When you can't be blocked. That seems like it's really bad beats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, it definitely was bad variance for me against that guy. He got a really, really timely Nissa's Renewal.
Oh, what?
It's a green card that allows you to go through and gain life. 7 life, to be exact.
So it renewed him, huh?
Yeah.
So I'm having to read this card, because some of these new cards that...
I don't even know why this guy's running this card.
Well, but... I mean, it's kind of like a Time Warp. I mean, unless he's playing against straight mono-red beats, it's I mean, a 6 drop, gaining 7 life, and then getting 3 basic lands.
Yeah.
In the play tapped, like 6, 7, 8, 9. That's whoa, dude! You got Ulamog next turn. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah, I know, and that's the card that went through and pretty much won him every game. I think he's running 1 or 2 of them. So, but yeah, the deck was. It's a really cool deck. It looked really fun to play, but seems definitely really variance. It is very clunky, I think. And variance got in my way a lot more than it got in his way that time. Yeah, I lost that guy. And then I ended up going up against Green-Black Aristocrats. Player was generally one of the ones that's always in the O2 bracket every event that I go to. So
your breakers are going to be bad.
Yeah. So my breakers are bad with that guy. Then I go and I played 3rd round against a brand new player. Like, this player had never played before. Now I'm going up against Black-White Allies Life Gain, and I stomp on the newbie.
You better. I mean, what kind of cards is he really going to play?
He was playing...
Was he playing Drana's?
Yes, he was playing Drana.
A new guy, spending some money, huh?
I think he just opened it, but yeah, maybe he's spending some money. He had Drana in there. He had Cutthroats, but he didn't have any sacrifice effects. He had the Griffin that when it comes into play, you gain 2 life. So he had a couple of interesting cards in there. A lot of life gain abilities, and when you gain life, do this. And when you have an ally come into play, drain life. So he had some really cool abilities there that I think there could be a really solid deck to play, but it wouldn't be top tier competitive for sure. Unless somebody's cool. Already put one out there that I didn't see.
Like, that's always cool seeing new players with the stuff that they come up with. Seeing stuff that, like, they build things that are somewhat synergistic.
Yeah.
And it's just like, man, these cards kind of do go good together, but I'll never be able to play them.
Yeah. Well, life gain is one of those big things that a lot of newer players go and they are drawn towards because losing life is bad, gaining life is good, and that's one of the things that we start ingraining into new players, I found. And so when you get a new player coming in, they're like, I don't want to go down to 0, so I'm going to gain as much life as I can and see where I go from there. And I think I've seen that a lot between either having synergies where you go through and things are able to work together, or you've got other people who are like, I just want to play vampires. I don't care if I win or lose. I just want to play vampires.
I mean, I can't blame them. Old vampires was fun.
Oh, yeah. No,
like, I literally still have that built and play it to this day from when it was original Zendikar Standard.
Yeah.
So sad. So sad.
So now I've got 2 bad breakers, and I lost first round. We go into round 4. I'm playing up against a guy who I always find super salty, and I never really enjoy playing against him or even being around him, but I have to play against him.
I was not in Canada. Calm down.
Oh. Anyways, he's playing Sultai Aristocrats. We started getting close to time in game 1. So I'm kind of giving him the nudge. Okay, we got to make sure we're making some decisions here. Time is of the essence at this point, and if we go to time, it's not good for either of us.
My breakers already suck. Hurry up, man.
Exactly. So I ended up going through, and I beat him. Then after I beat him, they said, okay, time. Then my opponent was like, I'm going to drop, and that's going to shit on your breakers. I'm like, yep. Yeah. You're shitting on my breakers, that's for sure.
Thanks, salty bastard.
yep. Anyways, then I go up, I look at the pairings, and there is a total of 8 players with 10 point, or sorry, there's a total of 8 players with, no, 9 players. No, no, 7 players. There were 7 players. There's 7 players with 9 points or better. Going into round 5.
How many points did you have, Travis?
I had 9.
Hmm.
Now, in order to go through and make top 8, I had to draw. Guaranteed top 8 if I draw. Because nobody that was in 8th place or lower could make it to 10 points. Now, me having the shitty tiebreakers I had to play it out. Because if I lost, the match that I was playing, I'm sitting on the outside looking in because somebody else is going to have better breakers than me.
Everybody. Literally everybody.
Everybody has better breakers than me.
All my opponents won no other games.
The flip side of this is, if I play and I win, I actually am going to be in first place going into top eight.
Did everybody else, like, draw?
Everybody else drew. So, after they went through and they drew, I was guaranteed first or out of top eight. And so, I win game one. Awesome. Things are looking great. I lose game two, a little bit of variance. I'm playing against Dark Jess guy, so he's going through, he's gaining a bunch of life. And I'm just like, why can't I just go through and get an Intekka Husk?
Just one, right?
I just need an Intekka Husk. I've got everything else. I got my opponent down to four or five life. And then he starts going through and he gets Ojutai's Command and Soulfire Grandmaster. And then he goes through and he starts using those Polygon commands to deal damage, gain life, and bring a card back. So I'm just like, holy fuck. Okay.
This is so awesome. This is why I love that deck. Like, it just seems like I'm just going to keep being redundant, and whenever I think I want to be done being redundant, I'll just keep being redundant. Like,
the worst part about game two is he had a turn three flipped Jace.
Eh?
Or sorry, turn four flipped Jace. So he goes through, he plays Jace on two off of two fetch lands.
Seems legit.
Turn three, he goes through and he holds back. At the end of the turn, he goes through and he uses Jace. So I couldn't kill it without him using Jace. Then turn four, he's got three cards in the bin. He cracks a fetch land. He's now got four cards in the bin. I can't kill it with my kill spells because of the fact that he's going to go through and he's going to flip. So
bad.
Yeah, yeah. So he goes through, he finally flips it when I have to play my card for pressure. That isn't the game because I managed to kill his Jace, but it's just, it puts so much pressure on me in those first couple of turns to be able to deal with Jace that I think that's what lost me that game. Then go into game three, I'm just like, okay, I've had bad breaks all night, I need to win this match. I go through and I lose. And then I go, I report, and I'm like, hey, what do you think my... I go through and I ask the tournament organizer, what do you guys think, what do you guys are showing me as my placement right now? Well, you're currently sitting 10th. Well, shit.
That's pretty bad. Either first or 10th. Like,
yeah, yeah. So I go through and another match finishes. I'm looking at it. My first round opponent, my last round opponent, both guaranteed to go through and make top eight. Like, okay, depending on how the other matches go, I could get pushed up into eighth place. Maybe.
Good old breakers.
Maybe the breakers will do it for me. One of my opponents loses. That brings me to ninth, which really, really hurts.
Yeah.
When you go through and you're like, okay, just if I can get into top eight, I can coast the rest of the way. I can get there. I can maybe get my playmat. No, not in the slightest. It's pretty much been my goal for the past 3 years, is I just want that playmat. I've had three or four top eights that I've actually been able to make it, so I don't know. Ninth place in a top eight prizes only is, there's a lot of salt there on ninth place.
Well, for you at least. I mean... Everybody in the top eight was like, sweet, I made it.
And we didn't have to go through and face Travis.
Yeah. Like, I'd be down with it.
Salt on top of that, Christine made top eight.
Did she get eighth?
No.
Darn, that would have been the best thing.
No. She got to draw into top eight.
I was
the only person in the top eight, or that could have gotten into the top eight, that wasn't allowed to draw in to make it.
Ouch.
Yeah, made me sad.
Yeah, hold on just a second, dude.
Okay. This is a song that never ends.
Dude, don't even.
I thought you weren't even there.
I came back in enough time to hear enough of something that ends my life.
I was hoping to just go through and be like, and you go through and you're doing the recording and you're like, what the fuck is he singing? I thought that I was just going to be cutting this out.
Hell, I gotta leave it now, son of a bitch.
Yeah. I gotta leave him a surprise, an Easter egg of sorts. Take a big steaming pile of shit on your recording.
Hey, hey, you know, it is what it is, I guess. What we can get.
So anyways, now that I've given you guys my tournament report, let's go over the list a little bit so that everybody gets an understanding of what I was playing.
I was playing cards.
I was having fun playing my cards. I was going through, and my list was very, very close to Kalkana's list. The only difference in the main board was I played 3 Polluted Delta and 3 Flooded Strand. Seems really, really weird to not be playing 4 Polluted Delta and 2 Flooded Strand. The reason, I couldn't find my 4th Polluted Delta.
What about Bloodstained Mires, dude? Like,
there's 4 of them in the deck. I'm playing 4 Bloodstained Mire. There's 3 Polluted Delta in my list. There will be 4 since I actually was doing house cleaning and was like, hey, there's a Polluted Delta that's not in my deck. So I found my extra Polluted Delta.
Pretty epic, man. I was doing house cleaning and found a card randomly.
Yeah, well, by house cleaning, I mean I was going through my cards to tidy things up because
literally your house is nothing but cards.
Sort of.
It almost feels that way.
Sometimes it does feel that way. I'm pretty sure that Christine feels that way.
But she plays too, so she can't complain too much, right?
Yes, she can. Because she only plays because I play.
See, then it's her fault. Like, you can in turn blame it back on her.
Yeah. So, going over the deck list fairly quickly, because I'm sure everybody's actually gone through and looked at it before. 3 Polluted Delta, 4 Bloodstained Mire, 3 Sunken Hollow, 3 Flooded Strand, 1 Foundry of the Consul, 1 Island, 8 Swamp.
So, something that we should touch base on here is the Foundry of the Consul.
Yes.
When games get late, this is a good card.
It is. I was thinking that there might be some benefit of going through and playing the Eldrazi Sion. That one seems to be decent as well. It does cost 1 mana more, but it gets you 1 more creature. And that creature has its own sacrifice ability. So I'm considering playing that, but the reason that I'm not considering playing it at the same time is Foundry plays very well into the Whirl of Rogue strategy, because it's 2 more artifacts. And so that's kind of the big turning point there. If I wanted more creatures, go with the Eldrazi Sackland. If I want to be a little bit more synergistic, Whirl of Rogue is with Foundry of the Consul. I think that's where I'm going to keep it for now.
I think that you have to, unless you're going to be running the Eldrazi Scions. I don't think it serves any other purpose, because you are running the Whirl of Rogue, which is the insta-kill.
Yeah, that is true. And, you know, who knows? Maybe I have to flip up a Whirl of Rogue from a morph or manifest rather than cast it. So that gives me a bit of an extra benefit there for sure. So, yeah, I can see that being very, very, very much a better situation than
as of this time.
As of this time, of course.
I mean, as time goes on, whenever rotation hits, you might want to go Sultai with it, but...
No, because the Foundry is in Origins, and Nantuka Husk is in Origins, so there's a lot of stuff. The deck is going to survive the next rotation, without a doubt, but it's not going to likely survive the rotation of Origins and Dragons.
No, I don't think it will either, but it is missing, whenever the Cons rotation hits, it is missing 3 slots.
Fetch lands, that's it.
So, I didn't think about that. So it's going to be missing the Murderous Cut, the Bloodsoaked Champions, and then the Sultai Emissaries out of your creature base.
The Sultai Emissaries can be replaced by a lesser card, which is, just bringing it up here because it is actually a very much lesser card, Carrier Thrall. So it can be, The Sultai Emissary can be replaced by Carrier Thrall. So it's worse, but it's still another creature. And so that's not a horrible way of taking that. And so I lose my murderous cuts, yes, but I still have so many other options for cheap kill spells. I don't care that much on rotation. Yeah. The fetch lands, I have to reserve judgment on whether or not that's going to be a massive heart attack for the deck, mainly because with fetch lands, you feed your murderous cut and you smooth your mana base out a bit.
The smooth mana base is going to be nice.
It is.
I think it's mainly there to help with the thinning aspect of it, because what, half of your lands essentially are fetches?
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot more mana available, most likely, and you're going to have to find some kind of replacement for the cut.
Yeah, no, definitely I will. And there's a lot of options out there for replacing the cut. And it may even be able to run a bit of a better, a beefier package. Bloodsoaked Champion, it is able to be replaced fairly easily with a pretty sweet card, in my opinion, Despoiler of Souls.
Spoiler of Souls.
Despoiler of Souls.
Despoiler
of Souls. Anyways, this thug is a thug. Double black whore.
Whoa, it's a whore? Whoa,
yes, Travis. It's a whore.
Whoa, Travis.
Anyways, double black. It's a horror. It's a 3-1, and it can't block, just like your champion. And it has an ability that is black-black, exile two other creature cards from your graveyard, return Despoiler of Souls from your graveyard to the battlefield. So you can do that at instant speed, regardless of raid trigger.
That's cute.
And so if you've got a bunch of creatures in your graveyard that you don't care about anymore, because they're obviously not coming back, you can return it and then just keep going on your way.
It seems so cute. Might be a nice little replacement.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. And I think that will be a decent slot into there, especially if you're using more mana. You can go through and you can have stuff like that happen. Now, looking at the actual creatures in the deck, let's go over the spells. There's five spells in the main board. Four Murderous Cut, one Vampiric Rites. Vampiric Rites allows you to go through the grindy game. Really important in a number of matchups. I found it very useful in the control matchups that I've played, and also in the Dark Jeskai matchups, because they're not removing it, and if you can get it down early, you can stay on par with their card advantage.
I don't even know if it's really card advantage. It's almost just redundancy.
The redundancy. So you are able to just keep your handful just like they do, because they're just continually returning things back to their hand.
The good thing about their returning back to their hand, though, is your information that you have.
Oh, yeah.
It's better than it just being a straight card draw effect, although you're still going to have to worry about certain things being threats.
Yes.
Just being able to have the card draw advantage, like, the blind card draw is scary, because that one open blue mana, that could be dispelled. You don't know, man.
Yeah, and so then you got the creatures. Four Bloodsoaked Champion, four Hangar Backwalker, four Sultai Emissary, four Zulaport Cutthroat, four Nantaku Husk, four Liliana Heretical Healer, four Sidisi's Faithful. Card is amazing in this build. And four Whirler Rogue. So it's a fairly tight-knit package, very streamlined. It knows what it's doing, and it does it. There's obviously other things that you can do to change the main board when you're going through and you're expecting certain metas and stuff like that. But this main board is fairly good. And
it's not even good. It's just that it's solid. Like,
it is solid.
All the main things you want to do, they're all 4-ups.
Yeah.
Like, everything. It doesn't matter. I mean, if you want to... is it even really worth tweaking? Like, it's so solid as a main deck.
Well, I guess the sideboard is a lot better for your tweaking. Now, my sideboard, I didn't have the list of what they used for their sideboard when they went to the Pro Tour with it. So, my sideboard is actually kind of horrible, but it's interesting. I had one Merciless Executioner. Didn't want to go through and have to deal with Esper Dragons that much, because I don't really have a way of destroying their or killing their creatures, except for, hey, let's make you sacrifice it with Merciless Execution.
And that's so, literally it.
Literally it. That's my only way of going through and dealing with that. So went through and had three complete disregard in the sideboard, allowing me to go through and fight with Jeskai a little bit more, because a lot of their creatures are power 3 or less. So that was a nice way to go there. One horribly awry, so that I can go through and counter the creature spells that I don't really want to face. Don't want to face Seed Rhino. Don't want to face any of the creatures in Jeskai, Dark Jeskai.
But does anybody ever want to play Seed Rhino?
No, not at all.
Because you know once they play Seed Rhino, you know what they're going to play next, right?
Another Seed Rhino.
But not only another Seed Rhino. They're going to be playing another Seed Rhino. Like, literally, you're going to see 80 Seed Rhinos in one game.
Yeah. So it's just insane. And so then I went through and I had two negates. Don't really want some of those spells to come down that are pretty impactful to the board. Don't want the counter spells. Don't want to go through and deal with the kill spells. And definitely don't want to deal with board wipes, because that stuff, I want to be in control of when the board gets wiped. I don't want somebody just to be like, and before your Nantuka Husk comes into play, I'm going to wipe your board on my turn instead of your turn. So I know you're all prepped for it, but you're not allowed to do it. So negate is very helpful in making sure that things go my way.
It's usually the best way for them to go.
And then counter spells are also something that this deck is fairly weak to. Every deck is weak to counter spells.
Like, literally, they have two open blue mana, and so, like, you just don't play cards.
Yeah.
or you play stuff that you don't care if it gets countered. Then they let it go through, and you think the coast is clear, and then you're like, oh, that got countered.
Yeah, for sure. And then I've got another one here, Dispel, which there's two of them in the deck. I don't want my cards countered. You're not countering my spells. I just say no. And then I have two Duress, just say no. I have three Spell Shrivel, just say no.
The more and more I hear about blue cards, the more and more it makes me understand why they put this stuff in blue. Because it's depressing as shit, man. Like, I'm going to play this, like, if they have open blue mana, I hold the card out and tap my mana and say, can I?
I know. I do that too whenever I'm playing. Even if they don't have a blue mana open, I'm still like, am I allowed to do this?
Like, and I have an internal sigh of relief, and then they're just going to be like, kill spell, fuck.
Yep.
Like, it resolves, and sucker.
Yeah, and so my last of my sideboard is one Disperse. I didn't know if I was going to need it or not, but something tells me return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand seems to be good.
I mean, so, it's a useful just a catch-all. It's not going to get it rid of it for good, but if you need to bounce something to get it out the way to win, why not?
If I need your Planeswalker off the board, it's off the board. For now, if you're getting close to your ultimate, I just reset your Planeswalker. If you're going through and you just cast an Ulamog, and next turn you're going to go through and you're going to attack in and mill the top 20 cards in my library, yeah, no. Your Ulamog's going back in your hand. Have fun time walking. So that's what I see with Disperse. It just time walks the turn.
Yeah. I mean, it's a sweet card. Like, it's just like the generic catch-alls at the beginning are just nice to have. Like,
Exactly.
Like, you know, so, Duress isn't going to be that great, but you're going to play it just in case. I'll run some negates just in case. Like,
yeah, and that was pretty much what my sideboard was. It was my just-in-case board. It definitely didn't get me where I needed, and I came in ninth place like a salty mofo, but It happens. I'll go to next games day and I'll
and play
fight tonight. For a blanket again.
And play tonight. Because of shitty breakers.
Hey, I've gone through and I've been in the top 8. I've been in the top 4 and been a 1 draw away from the top 2.
Man, yeah. Seems like 1 more draw away from not being involved.
Like, literally, he's like, okay, and I'm going to go through and I'm going to kill you. Then we look at my top card, and it would have killed them.
Ouch.
Yeah. That was my how close I was to top 2.
Dang.
Yeah, so that went pretty well. I had 3-2. I can't complain too much. Obviously, I am complaining, but...
Can't complain too much, but the past 30 minutes...
Yeah,
and just been me complaining.
Anyways, how has your Magic playing been going?
Like, 0 this past week?
0 this past week. I know that you had pretty busy weekend.
Yeah, this weekend was pretty crazy. I went out of town, family, went apple picking up in the mountains. And
apple picking?
Apple picking. We went to go pick apples.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Did you guys, like, spend the weekend there or something?
No, it's in Charlottesville that we went to. So that's a 2.5-ish hour drive from where I'm at. So we went up there in the morning, ate some breakfast, headed out, came back, got back in the evening. So
okay.
We get there, and the place is freaking packed because it's nice this time of year. All the trees changing color and whatnot.
We're already losing the leaves on all of our trees at this point.
Because it's fucking miserable in Canada, dude. It's cold as shit up there.
It's not that cold. It's not that miserable.
Your trees are missing leaves. That is fucking cold, Travis.
That's not fucking cold.
Not yet. Yet. Wait till everything is covered in ice. You're right. You're right.
Then that's cold.
Yeah. Screw that. But that was pretty sweet, man. Just getting to see all the scenery from atop a mountain, you know, into the valleys and everything.
Yeah.
And kids just having a blast. My oldest son was climbing trees and shit, throwing apples down at us.
So... who's sick of apples at this point?
No, man, these apples are good as shit. Like, it's not the normal kind that you get at the stores and shit, like Granny Smith's and all that kind of Macintosh and like
all sweet shit. Or are they?
Oh yeah, bitter? Man, they're sweet. I mean, they had a Granny Smith area, and we just grabbed a couple of those because we can get those at the grocery store. But then my wife grabbed some of those, to make a pie out of. We got some Fuji or Fiji apples.
Fiji apples.
Yeah. Okay. Holy shit, them are good. Like, of course, you know, their rule on their sign is, you pick it, you pay for it.
Yeah.
So everybody was sure. Everybody was walking around eating apples. So so we walked up. It was at the top of the mountain that they had this area. And went up there and chomped away and was like, holy shit, these are good. We're going to get a fuck ton of these.
And so... were they cheaper than the grocery store or more expensive than the grocery store?
I have no clue. We bought some other shit. Like, we bought, like, they make their own stuff. Like, they make these apple donut thingies, and they made some, let's see, we got some apple butter and some cider that they make.
Cider's very good.
That's so good. Especially
is this the alcoholic cider or is this the non-alcoholic child cider?
This is not, although they did have a cellar. And I did not go there because that would have been dangerous.
Yeah.
Although, no, it is nothing but a 2.5-hour drive. And whenever I go to GP Pittsburgh, I could detour that interstate and head that way and go get some if I needed. But
that would work out.
I mean, it could, but I doubt it. That's extra driving history. But, and then so next week.
Bring some home for the wife. I'm sure she'll be okay with it.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? But, this weekend, I'm actually going to be headed down to Florida for Halloween. I'm going to be heading down there, me, the wife, and my two boys. I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to get my daughter and go trick-or-treating with my daughter and my parents and my kids. And then my aunt's going to be there from out of town, too, so... that'd be a good time. Just everybody go hang out.
Good old Southern family reunion.
And it's going to be in the high 70s. I'm going to wear shorts. I'm excited as shit.
That would be nice, being able to wear shorts again.
Yeah, man, it's been kind of cold and miserable up here lately. Like, it's chilly, but, like, if I wear a jacket, like, even a lightweight jacket, it's just a little bit too much.
Yeah.
So it's like...
well, right now we're able to... go ahead.
Yeah, it's just having to switch back and forth between, you know, jacket, no jacket.
Yeah, right now we're having a pretty bad rainstorm. Well, you guys probably just got over it.
It passed us. I think I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the hurricane, aren't you?
Yeah, Hurricane Patricia. Patricia. Ended up going through, and we're going to have, like, 3 days of fairly heavy rain, some random flood warnings and stuff like that, but nothing major. Strange thing, though, checked the news this morning, and within, like, 3 hours of us getting the rain, there was, like, 15 people in Toronto that got hit by cars as pedestrians. I'm like, what the heck?
The barometric pressure, man, it just made them all loopy as shit.
Well, it was actually because it was early morning, like when everybody's starting to commute and stuff like that. So the visibility was actually really, really poor. And so
it'd be super shitty to hit pedestrians.
Oh, fuck yeah. It was horrible. Like, I was like, why the fuck is this happening? Apparently, we're just going through and we're attempting to hit people all over the place.
5 points. 5 points, guys. And
anyways.
We fucked up car in jail time. All right. Sounds good.
Well, no. Well, yeah, if you're going 5 points. But apparently, within the Toronto area, they have about 6 people hit by car a day.
What?
Yeah, that seems like a lot of people that get hit by a car a day.
Do y'all have to take driving tests to be able to start driving vehicles?
Yes, we do.
I mean, this at this point seems like a legit question.
Now, hit by a car can be anything like, you know, very, very small minor scratches to major. So this could be
everything?
Huh?
To scratch to broken everything.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what they're saying. But it's like, it's a fairly large city. It's up there with New York and LA in size, within the core area there for population. So I can only imagine what those cities are like for their hit by car, especially New York.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to have to ask Ruben about that, man. Like,
yeah, we'll have to ask Ruben how many people he's seen hit by a car. it seems a little bit morbid, but
it's cool, man. Let's keep tally. Let us know how many people have you seen hit by cars lately.
Yeah, no.
All right, Travis, anything else you got going on, man?
No, I think that's pretty much it. Hopefully I get to play some more Magic here before more cards come into Standard. Thinking maybe I might get a draft in on Friday, depending on how the wife feels, if she's okay with it. But, don't got anything now. Hopefully we'll have some guests on next week.
Hopefully, we should have something super special for you. Kind of innovative that we plan on trying out next turn. So
hopefully.
Episode 8, 9, 10, 11, we don't even know anymore either.
So. I don't know. Yeah. I've stopped keeping track. We'll have a number when it comes to actually putting it up on the page there.
But, yeah, organization.
Anyways, if you guys have any questions for us, feel free to hit us up on the Facebook page. I know we've actually got a bit of activity there recently, which makes me very happy. Mostly it's just, where the fuck are you guys?
Yeah, we've been here. It's been all Travis's fault.
All my fault. Absolutely all my fault. A little bit of Corey's fault, but we'll let that slide. We might let him back on the show.
I still blame you. It's all good.
Yeah, okay. Blame me. I brought Corey on.
Corey,
and
we love you, bro.
We do love you, Corey. Anyways, if you want to talk to us, go to Twitter. That'll all be in the show notes. Matt's always good with the show notes, and he's always good with the editing. I hope he's good with the editing. Honestly, I don't get a chance to go through and listen to anything recently, so.
I mean, we haven't had anything recently, so that's a good reason.
No, exactly. Anyways, if you guys find that our audio is horrible, please let Matt know. Ream him out, and.
Don't ream me. That seems bad. Seems very uncomfortable.
Let Matt know if there's anything that we can do with the recording. If you got any tips for us, awesome. But in general, we hope that you guys enjoy listening to the show. We enjoy putting it on. I think this is the most that I've talked for an episode.
By far.
Yeah. Like mostly this episode's me just saying, what the fuck? Yeah. Ninth place. Yeah. So, anyways, I'm out, guys. You guys have a good night.
All right. Bye, everybody. Till next time.